Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Start reading at verse number 7, fourth chapter of Ephesians. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. And Lord, our whole desire today is to honor you and uplift your name, and Father, that people may understand and realize how wonderful you are, what you've done for us. So, Father, today I ask you to take this simple message and use it to the glory of God. And Lord, help this preacher. He needs your help. He needs you to do it through him today. And, Father, I need your wisdom. I need everything from thee. Lord, when all is said and done, I pray that we'll be able to take the word of God and not only hear it, but be willing to do it. And I thank you in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled Landmarks. Landmarks. The Word of God says, remove not the ancient landmarks which the fathers have set. No doubt about that God in His Word has set forth the Word of God as a landmark and cannot be changed, must not be changed. We know that there's forces across the land that will do anything to change the landmark of the Word of God. We understand that in America, being the great nation it is, and I'm saying that from the standpoint of it's the greatest nation that's ever been as far as putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. More missionaries go from this nation and has went from this nation over the years. More money, more literature, all of those things has went from this great land to send forth the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world. Now that's one of the main reasons that old Satan's mad. It's one of the main reasons for many years he's done everything he can do to destroy this nation from within. He found out he couldn't do it from without, and so he's doing it from within. And we want to stop him from doing that. We want to do our part here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be just one of those people who don't move the landmarks, just keeps on with the landmark of the Word of God and just stays close to God's Word and preaches it and teaches it and obeys it and just does what is right. I want to take just a few moments, if you will, if you turn with me over to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. First Timothy, and I'm going to kind of skip through. I'll give you the scripture reference, and we'll just skip through a few verses. And I want you to see as I'm doing this, the importance that God puts upon doctrine, truth from His Word, that we keep the doctrine of the Word of God correct. All through 1 and 2 Timothy, which was written to a young preacher by Paul, by the name of Timothy, and he instructed him, giving him many instructions. But you'll notice the many times that he brings up the subject of doctrine. How important it is that we keep our doctrine correct. We keep the Word of God just as it is. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, third and fourth verse, it says, "And as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, who its minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." And he warned Timothy here that he ought not to teach any other doctrine. He was talking about the doctrine which he had taught from the Word of God. And he said many people are going to turn to endless genealogies, and they'll heed fables and stories and all kinds of things. But he says we must keep sound doctrine. Look at verse number 10. "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for prejudiced persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." The word sound, you'll find it more than once in these scriptures. It means healthy doctrine. Healthy doctrine, true doctrine, will heal you, will help you. Unhealthy doctrine will make you spiritually sick. We need true doctrine, and it needs to be preached and taught. Chapter 4, you'll find in verse number 6, it says, "And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereon thou hast obtained." He told him here that what he needed to do to be a good minister of Jesus Christ was to keep these people in remembrance of these things. And they ought to have good doctrine, nourished up in good doctrine. In verse 13 it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Look at verse 16. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Look at chapter 5, verse number 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Look at chapter 6, verse 1. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." We find in verse 3 of chapter 6, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." We find over in 2 Timothy then, in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse number 10, and it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Verse 16, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And look at chapter 4, verse number 2, "Preach the word in season, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Look at verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap together teachers having itching ears." Once again, the emphasis is put on in the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and Paul was telling Timothy, you keep your doctrine straight. You keep good sound doctrine according to the Word of God. It's so important that we do that. So what does God do, or excuse me, what does old Satan do immediately in the very beginning of the Bible, as soon as Adam and Eve, he approached them there in the garden? What did he do? He began to try to change the landmarks of the Word of God. What did he do immediately? He says, "Yea, hath God said," begin to put doubt upon the Word of God immediately. He says, ye shall not surely die," he said to them. In other words, God's lying to you. He said you'd die, but God's lying to you. Putting doubt upon the Word of God. "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That's what Satan said, immediately telling them, it's up to you to decide what is good and what is evil. That's what's across the land today. See, not the absolute of the Bible, but what is good. Man can decide what is good and what is evil. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But God's absolute, the Bible, is His Word, and it will never change, and we must not ever allow it to change here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So we must understand there's certain doctrines, landmarks of God's Word. His Word is the landmark, and we cannot allow it to change. Now, the forces of evil are across this land right now. The New Age movement is just one of many of the groups who would do anything they can to change the landmarks of the Word of God. And I say to you, there are just some basic things I want to say to you this morning. I want you to remember some things. God has it in His Word, and we cannot allow them to be changed. See, the agenda for anybody that is against America is to change the landmarks of God's Word. If they can get that job done, I'm talking about in churches and in the land and homes all across this land, if they can get that done, you see, they got us defeated, you see. We've got to stay close to the Bible, and we got to remember that the landmarks of God's Word will never, ever, and must not ever, ever change. First of all, you see, if they're going to destroy the landmarks, they're going to have to redefine sin. And that's what they're trying to do. You see, what they do is, and that's what Satan told Eve. He said, you can decide what is good and evil. That sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, we can decide, and that's what people are doing. Say, well, it's just up to this individual, whatever he thinks about this or that, doing that which is right in their own eyes. But that's not true. God's Word is absolute. When God says that something is sin, it is absolutely sin. And I say to you today, even in our churches today, we've got to be careful that we don't change God's idea about sin. When God says there's something sinful, it is sinful. Make any difference who, what, or anybody else says, it is absolutely sinful. And we cannot ever change that wonderful landmark. And yet across our land, they're trying to change the landmark of sin today and tell us that it doesn't make any difference. You can decide what you want to do, and you can decide what you want to do, and it doesn't make any difference. It's just whatever a guy thinks, but that's not true. God's Word calls certain things sin. He calls sodomy sin. He calls abortion sin because it's murder. He calls all of these things sin. He calls drunkenness sin. He calls it sin in the Word of God. And it is sin because God says it is sin, you see. And we can put all the names and glorified names on top of that we want to, but it isn't going to change anything. It is absolutely sin. Now, old Satan would love to do anything he could to change the meaning of the cross. You know, all kinds of people, and I could have read to you from many things, but I'm not going to take the time to do that today. But all there's an attack upon the cross of Jesus Christ as though it has no meaning whatsoever. I just want to say something to you today. The cross of Jesus Christ, you see, that's where He died upon that cross for the sins of all the world. That's where He shed His precious blood upon the cross of Christ. He's the one that shed His blood, and their victory was won for you and I. Now, old Satan would do anything he could to change that, get people's ideas that the cross made no difference. But it does make a difference. If you've never come to the cross, you've never come to Christ. If you've never come to the cross and admitted that you're a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're not His. I talked to a man yesterday. I went by and I stopped to see him, and I said something to him. It's a long story and I won't give it all, but I said, I see you made it. And immediately, because when I walked up, he said, hi preach, how you doing? And I said, I see you made it. He thought I made it through the winter. He said, yeah. He said, only the good die young. He said, we old wicked folk, we live forever. And we got to talking there, and I said, you know what? I said, don't you understand when this old preach comes, he just has one thing in mind. I just want you to go to heaven with me. I said, I just want you to go to heaven. Well, he said, I'm figuring on going. I said, sir, and I quoted to him John 14:6, that Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And I said, you can't make it without Jesus. And he said, well, he said, I don't have Jesus, but I'm figuring on making it. See, the deception that is there, oh, Satan is deceiving people that there is some way they're going to make it to heaven. They're just not too bad of a people that God is going to take them to heaven. That's not true. My dear friend, if you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you never put your faith and trust in the Son of God, there is no way you can get to heaven. You'll die and you'll break hell wide open. You'll die and you'll go to hell and you'll burn forever if you've never received Christ as personal Savior. But old Satan, he would love to change that. He'd love to get people to think, it's all right, I'm going to die one of these days, but I'm going to be all right. Well, you're not going to be all right if you die without Christ. My dear friend, you need to be a time in your life when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, call upon His wonderful name, and be born into the family of God. See, that's the only way you're ever going to get to heaven. You can't get there any other way. But old Satan would do anything he could concerning that. Talking about Creator and His creation. You know, He's put out a great line for years and years and years on this evolution thing. And a lot of folk today just kind of, you know, mock at it and they say, oh, well, you know, people want to believe in evolution. Fine. Listen, folk, do you understand what's happening in that line of evolution? Don't you understand what is going on? Don't you understand what He is saying is, there's no great God. There's no great God in heaven that you have to answer to. We're all just evolved from something, and we're our own gods. We decide what is right and wrong. My dear friend, that's not true. God created the heavens and the earth. He did that, and He's done all just perfect and right and good, and we messed it all up, but He done it right and perfect and good. Amen. And He'd do anything possible to change that. Oh, Satan would love for you to believe in evolution. Oh, Satan would love for you to believe there's nothing higher than you, and that you can decide what is good and what is evil. If you believe that, you're a foolish person today. You need to believe in Jesus, and He is the Son of God who died for your sins. Not only that, you hear these things about positive thinking. I have a paper here somewhere. I'll hunt it out maybe. So I want to read it to you. If I've got, yeah, you've all heard of Robert Schuller. What are you laughing, folks, for? He's the glass church fellow, and Robert Schuller. But I don't worry about his glass church. He can have his glass church. It's his doctrine I'm concerned about. Norman Vincent Peale, the positive thinker. Let me say to you, folks, whether you realize it or not, them kind of folks say, oh, you've got to think positive. Well, I want you to read in the Scripture something and read the sermons of Jesus and read the sermons in the Word of God. And there is more negative sermons in the Word of God than there is positive sermons in the Word of God. I even have that pressure here. People say to me once, well, you ought to be more positive, Brother Ross. Well, when God gets to being more positive, I'll be more positive with Him. And when He preaches in His Word, you read it. You see how positive He is. He certainly is positive, but He also preaches and teaches negative things. And He tells us where He's against sin and all of those kind of things. Well, Robert Schuller said this. He said, I believe that the responsibility of this age is to positize. I don't even know there's a word like that, but that's what he said. Religion. He said, I want to positize a religion. Now, this probably doesn't have much bearing on you. Now, listen to who he was speaking to. He was speaking to a bunch of Unitarians. Being unity people, you're positive. But I talk a great deal to groups that are not positive, even to what we would call fundamentalism, who deal constantly with words like sin, salvation, repentance, and guilt. Amen. If that's what a fundamentalist is, I'm a fundamentalist, ain't you? I like being a fundamentalist. And he said, boy, that's unpositive thinking when you have to start thinking about sin. We need to get to thinking about some sin. We need to realize that we're sinners. We're lost, hopelessly lost without Christ. We need to be thinking about salvation, that Jesus died for our sin and wants to save us. Amen. Wants to give us eternal life. We need to be thinking about repentance, because that's what it takes. You have to repent and come to Christ, and then we get to thinking about guilt. Yes, you'll think about guilt. If you're an old sinner, you need to be guilty, you see. But you can get that guilt lifted. Jesus will lift it for you. He'll remove it, you see, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So that's them old positive thinkers, you see. And old Satan would love to be you, that type of a positive thinker, to where you never think about sin and salvation and guilt and repentance and all of those things. Let me say, we better start thinking about him. Understand? Not only that, and he just talked about it, but he'd just give anything that people would forget the subject of repentance. I'm still an old-fashioned believer. I believe when a person comes to Christ, he repents. I believe he comes to Jesus Christ with a repentant heart, knowing that he's an old lost sinner and he needs Jesus Christ to save his soul. And he recognizes the fact that he's a sinner and he needs Jesus. He recognizes that fact. He in his mind certainly says, I know what God has done for me. I know I'm an old rotten sinner, and I know Jesus died for me, and I know that he's the only way of heaven, and I need to get saved. I need to be born again. That's how you get saved. Amen. But old Satan don't want you to think about those things. Let me say something else. Old Satan doesn't want you to think about separation. Let me tell you something. Separation is taught from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. And we need to be separate people. We need to be separated from this old world so that we can live godly lives. You say, Brother Ross, does separation save you? Of course not. But let me say to you, separation shows that you are saved. I mean, I'd like to see somebody who says they're saved look like it, act like it, and talk like it, wouldn't you? I think God would have us to do that. I'm an old-fashioned separation preacher. I'm going to preach it till the day I die. I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to keep hollering it. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep telling people that Jesus, in the Word of God, wants us to be separated. And He wants us to do that. He wants us to be that way. As children of God, it doesn't save you. Separation doesn't save you. But as we're saved, we ought to be a separated people. A godly, righteous people. And so old Satan, though, he's come along and said, oh, don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. We don't need that stuff in America. That's why our churches and our country is where it is today. Because we've not paid attention to the Bible, the blessed book. Not only that, let me say to you, the Word of God is complete. I preach out of a King James version of the Bible. It says Holy Bible. That's God's holy word. Amen. I happen to use a Scofield reference edition. But don't make any difference whether you use one of those or not. That's what I use. But let me say to you, it is the King James version of the Bible. And I want to say to you that right there between those two pages, those two flaps, is the inspired word of God. And it's complete. And it doesn't need anything else to complete it. It's all given to us. Every word that we need is right here. And I believe, and old Satan comes along and says, oh, you don't have to pay no attention to that. That's just God's idea back in those days and back in that time. You don't have to pay no attention to that. That's what Satan says. But it's the Word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it always will be. Never, ever, 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 ever will change. You say, it's God's Word. We better pay attention to it. We taught in our Sunday school class this morning. We started on the subject of Gideon. And we talked about how that the reason that they needed a Gideon to deliver Israel was because of their wickedness and their sin. If you don't think we don't need a Gideon, we need one in America. We need it. You know why? Because of the wickedness of our sin. And the whole wickedness was this. They turned away from the Word of God. They just turned away from God. They turned away from His Word. And they say, it's all right. I'll do what I want. No, no, no. No, 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 no. You're not going to get by with that. God won't allow us to get by with that. We must get back to the Bible, the Word of God. And let me say to you, it is complete. There is no new revelations. It is already complete. Everything we need is right here in God's Word. Not only that, I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the literal, bodily, everything else resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He rose from the dead, don't you? And the Bible says if you're a Christian, you're going to believe that too. Amen. That's good doctrine. That's right. And old Satan don't want you to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a man here a while back. It's been a few months ago. And I got him down to the place where we went through. He agreed with everything. Agreed he was a sinner. Agreed he needed to be saved. And all of those kind of things. Agreed that, Jesus was the Son of God and all that. We got to the resurrection. He said, well, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Well, let me say unto you, my dear friend, you can't believe in the resurrection. You can't believe in the Savior that will save you. You understand what I'm saying? You got to believe in God's Word. Old Satan says, oh, it don't make any difference. Of course, you know what Satan's tale is you get resurrected about 100 different times. I mean, you know, incarnation. You know, you're a bug one day and you get squashed and you come back as a cow. And somebody shoots you and eats you and you come back as a man. And then you get something happen to you there, you come back as somebody else. Foolishness. Just silly. I don't know how anybody in the world could believe such silliness. But they do. They believe that because they're ungodly, you see, and they don't understand the Bible, the Word of God. It's appointed once unto a man to die, and after this cometh the judgment. Period. Understand? So I'm just simply saying to you, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and old Satan would give anything if he'd give a bunch of people not to believe that truth. I believe something else. I believe about heaven. I believe there's a heaven, don't you? Yeah, there's a place. Jesus said He went away to prepare a place for me, and He's coming back again to get me. Amen. And He said He went away. He didn't say He'd done it here on earth. I mean, He went into heaven. He's preparing a place for us right now. And one of these days He's going to come back after us. And I just happen to believe something. I believe it's going to be pretty soon. I believe in heaven. I'm going to go to heaven, you see. Say, Brother Ross, you're bragging. No, I'm bragging on Jesus. Jesus made the way so I could go to heaven. And I'm going to go to heaven because of His wonderful word, because He died on the cross for me and told me I could have eternal life if I'd accept Him as my personal Savior. I'm going to go to heaven, folks. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? I also believe there's a hell, don't you? Satan's been doing everything under the sun to destroy people's belief in hell.
He said, oh, God, you know, God's too loving. He wouldn't send a person to hell. He has no choice. He doesn't want to send you to hell. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. You don't have to go there. I mean, it's that simple. You say, I don't want, you know, I don't think there's a hell. I don't want to go there. You don't have to go there. If you believe in Jesus, you don't have to go there. But if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus, it's for sure where you're going. I said, just old-fashioned beliefs from the Bible. See, that's what this nation needs. This nation needs, not just the way I'm preaching it, but it needs these truths taught in its churches all across this land, stand upon them and believe them. I heard a man say the other day, there was 400,000 churches in America and 200,000 of them were Bible believers. I don't know. I'm just telling you what he said. He seemed to have some statistics. He said that they at least believed in the truths of the Word of God. The rest of them didn't even believe in them. Can you imagine that? All across this land, there's churches this morning where people get up and supposedly preach. I don't know what they're preaching because they're not preaching the Word of God. They don't even believe it. And people go home with their ears tickled. Isn't it shame? Folks, listen. Church is about preaching God's Word. That's what it's about. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. And I believe that Jesus is coming again. Amen. He is coming again. I look forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus very soon. You say, you know he's coming today? No. You know he's coming tomorrow? Nope. Is he coming? Yes, he is. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come at any time, you see. And there again, old Satan wants to change that message. He don't want you to believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. My friend, he's on his way. He's coming again. Any day, Jesus Christ could come. Whenever the appointed day is, whenever it's time, whenever it's due time, whenever God says that's it, God is going to send His Son. He's going to come again. What needs to be done, Brother Ross? Well, there needs to be some landmarks established. First of all, in our homes. Homes need to be established and built. We as a people need once again to go back to the Word of God and realize that's what God has placed in our hands to build our homes on. And we need to lay down some landmarks in our homes and say, we're not going to deviate from this. This is what we're going to do in our home. This is what we're going to believe. This is where we're going to be on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday school, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church. This is where we're going to be. Why? Because we're going to just raise our children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. We're going to build some homes. Not only that, I believe something. I believe the Bible needs to be got out of the closet and needs to be read, needs to be studied, and needs to be obeyed. You know, I've said it so many times, but I want to stress it once again. You can take the Word of God and you can say, Brother Ross, I believe that Word. I believe it is God's Word. You can lay it on your lap as we preach, and that's well, and you should, and it's good that you do that. And you can walk away from here and say, I believe the Word of God. I believe it's God's Word. But if you never apply it to your life, it has done nothing for you. The Word of God is not something we just sit around and say, I believe it, Bible thumper. I'm a Bible thumper, but I just say, oh boy, there's the Bible. Let me tell you something, folks. We take that Bible, we believe that Bible, and we must obey that Bible. It's not as loud as it used to be. You see, there's application of the Word of God. It's not a matter of just saying, I believe it. It's application of the Word of God. And that's what's needed in America. You say, well, I believe the Bible. Well, I want to be counted amongst the Bible believer. Okay, fine. Let's obey the Word of God. Let's do everything we can as we learn from God's Word to put it in practice and action in our life. Amen? Isn't that right? Isn't that what God's Word is all about? Sure it is. And that's what we need. We need to get those Bibles out and we need to read them and study them and obey them in our homes. Not only that, we need to begin to pray. It needs to be intensified. Prayer needs to be intensified. Folks, I'm telling you, we're in dangerous straits. Our nation is in dangerous straits. We better get to crying out. We didn't get to that point in our study of Gideon this morning, but the first thing that God gave attention to when the people was all in bondage was they cried out unto the Lord. And I'm saying to you, I'm not saying we cry out and say we're a people who deserve to be delivered. I'm saying we cry out and say, oh God, we're sinners, but you're a great God. And you love us and you can help us. And we need to beg God for help. Ask Him to do something for America. We need to intensify our praying time. Once again, I usually do this. Just think about how much did you pray this week? I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm just asking you, please, how much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you spend doing other things, worldly things and all those kind of things? How much time did you spend in prayer? Now, isn't that an awesome thing? Isn't it something to think about? And yet our nation is going downhill. We're having all kinds of problems, and we won't even cry out to God about it. We need to intensify our praying. Not only that, we need to see some old-fashioned, dedicated church members. Getting back to the place where, look, it's not what my church can do for me, but what I can do for the work of God. Just getting back to that simple old truth that we're servants of God, and we as a people need to gather together and get old-fashioned, dedicated church members that just simply says, I'm going to serve, I'm going to love God, don't make any difference what comes my way, I'm just going to do my best to do the very best I can do where God has put me. That's what we need. Amen? We need some old-fashioned humbleness before God Almighty. Our spirit's broken. And we need to be humbled before Almighty God. There's so much pride in all of us. My friend, God cannot bless pride. God will bless humbleness of heart. And we need to get back to an old humbleness of heart where we admit that we're just something that we should not be. We're not like God wants us to be, and humble our hearts toward Him, cry out to Him for help. We need to get back to that, getting rid of that pride in our life and humbling ourselves before God. We need to get back, as I said earlier, to the old-fashioned repentance. I heard Vernon McGee, I don't know what you think about Vernon McGee, but he's a faithful Bible preacher over the years, taught the Word of God. He said, you know, it's an awesome thing. He said the church has come to the place where, he said, that people think it's a place of entertainment. And he said the church was never designed to be a place of entertainment. It was designed to be a place of repentance. And I said, that's true. I said, that's true, Mr. McGee. Church is a place where you can come, get right with God, get your cup full course. But if there's problems and there's things that we're doing that's not right, it ought to be a place where the old altar is filled with people who just need to come down there and just simply tell God something. It may not be some great big thing. And then, in fact, it's better if it isn't, because you've kept those little things going all the time, kept taking care of those. Come to an altar of prayer and say, God, I've done something yesterday I should not have done. Oh, God, help me. Please forgive me for that. That's the way it ought to be. We just need to get back to some old-fashioned repentance. We need to also get back to renewed vision. I'm afraid that most of us as Christians have very little vision of what God's going to do for us tomorrow even. But we need some vision. We need to have a vision of the fact that what God would do for us if we just let Him do it. Even here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need a vision for what God would do for us if we as a people would let Him do it for us. And He wants to do it. You understand? He wants to help us. Not only that, we need to get back to that, the fact that God comes and meets with us and gives us His power in our services. We need the presence of God in every service. We need His wonderful power present in every single service. You and I need God's power upon our life. Amen? We need that. We need His presence with us daily. Moses said, I don't even want to go up there. I don't want to lead the people up there if you don't go with me, if your presence doesn't go with me. We ought to say the same thing. God, we can't do anything. We need your presence. We need your power. We need that old-fashioned presence of God in our life and power of God in our life. We need to see repentant, unsaved, filthy sinners coming to Christ. We need to see people gotten hold of by the Holy Spirit of God and says, you're an old rotten sinner, but oh, I love you so much. I want to save you. And we need to see people falling down upon their knees before the Lord and saying, Lord, save me. Give me eternal life. Amen? We need that. You see, not only that, I mentioned it a little bit while ago, but we need to clean up our homes. We need to clean the junk out of our magazine racks and off our television screens, and out of our video catalogs. We need to get rid of all of that filth that's there in our homes and clean them up and get back to living for God like we ought to. Amen? Not only that, we just need to, as a whole, get back to good old holy living. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. We just need to do right. You know what's right to do. I can mention a lot of things, but I miss something. But you know what? You know whether something's right to do or not. You know it's right to be here on Sunday morning, church. Don't you know that? I mean, don't you know that? You know it's right to be back on Sunday night. Don't you know that? You know it's right to be in Bible study on Wednesday night. Don't you know that? You know it's right to witness and testify for Christ. Don't you know that? It was sweet. I was up to the bank. Yes. No, it was Friday. Went up to the bank Friday and I had to do some transactions. And I was just handing over at one of the teller's windows. And there was an older couple. I don't know how old he was. I'm going to guess in their 80s. Okay? Sweet, precious people just standing there. And she was kind of humped over and he was standing there. And they was doing some business. And they got to talking about something. And this lady just looked up at this teller and she said, "Oh," she said, "God has been so good to us." And the lady answered back something, and she says, "Oh," but she said, "You don't understand," said, "over these many years that we've had together, God has been so good to us." I looked over and smiled and nodded to her, and I thought, what a wonderful witness for Christ. She may not have recognized all that she said, but she was testifying for the goodness of God. And you tell it wasn't just something, "God's been good to us." It came from a heart and a life that said, "Oh, God has been so good to us." And I thank the Lord for that dear couple as they went out. They just kind of went out like this together, holding hand, arm and hand there together. And they walked out of the bank and it was so slow, you know, and everything. But I thought, what a wonderful testimony. Simple words, but what a power behind them. "Oh, God's been so good to us." I bet they could have told you a lot of stories. I bet they could have told you a lot of times when they had some difficulties and heartaches. But, "Oh, God has been so good to us." What a testimony. We need to increase our witness and testimony for the Lord. Not only that, we need to increase our love for the brethren. The brethren are important. It's not that the brethren ought to love you. They should. But you ought to love the brethren. It's a two-way street. It's not one-sided. Understand? There ought to be a genuine love for the brethren at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We ought to care about one another. I mean, listen, folks. You say, "Yeah, but you know so-and-so over there." Well, all right, so-and-so's not doing everything they ought to, but we can still love them with the love of God in our heart. And probably we're not doing everything we ought to do either. And we probably want a few folk to love us. And I believe in this day, we need a lot less bystanders and a lot more servants if we're going to turn this thing around. Bystanders don't do anything for God. They stand on the side and they don't do a thing. I'm not talking about people who are learning and growing and learning that they need to serve and how to serve and are willing, but just hasn't come maybe to that place where they do a whole lot. It's a big difference between that and those who absolutely put up a stop sign and say, "I am not going to do anything." We need some servants. You want to turn this place around? You want to turn this nation around? You want to get some landmarks laid down that won't move and kept there? Then let's all be servants together. Let's all serve God and love Him and walk with Him and do what we ought to do and do our part that God has given us to do. I simply just say to you, the landmarks of the Word of God must be established. And we must keep them. And I don't care what the liberal says or the liberal church does. We must stand on the Word of God. Amen? And in because of that, let me say something to you, and I'll close. Because you're willing to stand on the Word of God, you're not going to be very popular. You've got to understand that. Everybody's not going to flock to your door. And everybody's not going to love you. They're going to criticize and make fun and tell stories and everything else. But we just need to stand on God's Word. Stand fast. Not move the landmarks. Just keep them there. No matter what comes our way, just keep them right where they belong. And I trust that Blessed Hope Baptist Church will do that, so that America will have a chance of getting turned around and heading in the right direction, whether we'll be willing to walk with God once again, closer than we ever have. It's needed. Our land needs it. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Father, for the Word of God, its truths. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us, give us strength and help, that we'll just stand on those old landmarks of the Word of God. Lord, not to let them be moved here in this place. We'll just be faithful to do your will. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.